So I'm going to talk today about what Microsoft is doing. I added a couple of slides to start with because I've been asked a couple of questions and I've been about why Microsoft is here. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And that is that I come from Microsoft Research, and in a group that I'm in called Microsoft Research Connections is where we do a lot of outreach into academia and other places where we're doing research. So fundamentally what happens is Microsoft is a computer science software company. We do a lot of research in computer science, and how we apply it is interesting to us. A couple of years ago, my boss was doing work in human genomics. He was doing work in HIV vaccine design. He was doing work in genome association. He's a former MD, PhD from Stanford, or he is an MD, PhD from Stanford. And machine learning is his area of expertise, so he's been applying that in the genomic space. We cover a couple of different areas. So, again, computer science is the target, so natural user interface, a lot of things embedded system mobile, so there. The earth energy environment, we do a lot of environmental studies and working with people in watershed, different places, health and well-being, has mostly been focused on human. I came back to Microsoft Research a little over a year ago, just under 2 years ago, and I talked to David and we said we should be looking at not just human, but going into the plant and animal space, so that's part of why I'm here. And then normal computer science, and the last one that we have in the focus with the Research Connections group is on scholarly communications. So part of this is why is Microsoft into software? Well, software is all about tools and libraries. Tools, it's an application. Basically, a tool is something that you need to get your job done. And as more and more science is being driven by data, the computer is a really important component of taking that data, analyzing that data, and making it into real useful information. What's a library? In our case, a software library is a group of functionality that you can reuse and in a very reusable form so that you can be more productive. And what's Microsoft's goal here is our goal has been to make the programmer productive to allow the end user to be much more productive in getting their job done. So delivering tools and libraries to improve productivity. So I still have nobody from the AV group here, huh? She's gone to look? Okay, so I had originally intended to, and I'm sure that this, if I don't have a network connection, it's not going to work. So I was going to give real demos of some of the programs we have and some of the websites. So I may be dangerous here for a second. And we'll see how it goes. Oh, that's too bad. So drive this one, because it's going to drive that one. A little better. Okay.
we have to go back a little bit here. Sorry, it's running really slow at the moment, but we'll get there. And so basically what I want to talk about is the work that we're doing is called the Microsoft Biology Initiative. And what we're doing here is working on tools and libraries so that people can be more productive in the biology space. I'll give a little bit of the the websites that we've got here. And what you can see here is the start and the discussion of it. And it's made up of two parts, the library, which we call the Microsoft Biology Foundation, and then we have a series of tools on top of it as well. I'm going to quickly show sort of what we have in tools. We also talk a little about what groups inside Microsoft are actually doing work in biology. There's the eScience group, which is my group. There's Biological Computation, which is in Cambridge, England. And there's Cambridge Bioinformatics, which is Cambridge, United States, which does cause, Cambridge and Cambridge does cause confusion even inside Microsoft. But the point is that inside Microsoft Research, of which there are roughly 850 PhD researchers and another 400, if you would, postdocs and developers working with them, so roughly 1,200 people inside Microsoft Research, of which we have several handfuls of people working in the biology space. And this is an example of some of the tools we have up there. You can see MBT, we have different things, PhiloD, we've been working in the HIV space. We have HLA, a whole bunch of different stuff. Over here are general tools that we have for Microsoft, Pivot, Node, Excel. A lot of these are research projects, so they're available via research license. Some of them are pure open source, but we have 3D molecular rules and things that tie into it. And then the Microsoft Biology Foundation page, which is basically talking about the library. You'll see that there's videos up there and other things. We'll talk about more about the MBF in just a minute. And then coming back here. So in talking about the libraries, Microsoft Biology Foundation. I need to hit the right buttons. And the point is that the Microsoft Biology Foundation is no more. It is moving to the Outer Curve Foundation and .NET Bio. So whereas Microsoft was doing the principal development for it up until a year ago, or up until recently, what's happening now is that we are moving the ownership of MBF to the Outer Curve Foundation, which is an open source foundation for developing software using open source models. Microsoft is no longer the owner or the principal developer. We're working with an advisory board, which it contains both academia and industry, to move it forward, and it will be the foundation for biological codes on the .NET platform. So, with that background, how many people in here are developers or programmers versus biologists? Zero. Oh, I have a couple of bioinformaticists. So we have a couple. This is really targeted at the developer side, so I'm going to go through it really fast for you guys. Fundamentally, it's a toolkit. It supports the ability to read and write common formats, so if you want to work with DNA, RNA, or protein sequences, you can read them, you can import them into the toolkit, you can run analysis on it. When you're done with it and it's in the framework, you can have easy access to web connectors. So if you want to provide a web service or if you want to consume a web service, you get access to all of the .NET Foundation, the .NET framework, which is a Microsoft development environment. Basically, this is a foundation to build other tools. I'll show you some of the tools that we have built with it. The current focus that we have had in this space has been on genomics and sequencing. So we wanted to take DNA from the sequencing machine, move it forward, and create an assembled genome. It's built on top of .NET 4. The .NET Bio Library is under the Apache 2 license, so it is usable in academia, and you can use it as open source shareware, but you can also use it in production or proprietary software. The goal here is we want to be leveraging the advancements that come off the Microsoft platform. There's about 1,000, probably closer to 2,000 people in Microsoft that work on developer tools and try and make the developer more productive. So if we can leverage the work that they're doing and make biological bioinformaticists more productive so that you can do better biology more quickly, that's, I think, a very interesting direction to go. The framework, as you can see, then sits on top of the .NET framework, which was .2.0, and that came out in 2005, so it's been here for a while. .NET version 1.0 came out in 2001. Version 3 added Windows Presentation, Communication, and Workflow Foundation. So in here, you have the ability to do graphics, so WinForms, database applications where you want to present things in the screen. ASP.NET is the framework for doing websites and web services, and ADO.NET is database access. The link in ADO.NET here is including more capability in any frameworks. Parallel Link, Task Parallel Library, these are there to help you exploit the multi-core capabilities on your machine. So Intel several years ago said we can't make the chips faster. The clock frequency is maxed out due to power and other physics properties. So what they're doing is they're adding multiple cores. So parallel programming on the desktop is here. It's been here for a while. My desktop currently has 10 cores in it, actually has two sockets, 10 cores per socket. So my desktop is running 20 cores. And .NET Bio, because it's using Parallel Link and the Task Parallel Library, it will exploit all those cores in the places where you can, where you don't have data dependencies blocking you from doing that. And it does that pretty easily and pretty automatically. And then the intent is that your application then runs on top of .NET Bio for the biological portions of it, and you can call into any of the other .NET framework pieces so you leverage all of the work that's going on in database, in task parallelism, in communications across the Internet, in providing services across the Internet, and going from there. .NET Bio is flexible, built on top of .NET 4. You can write console applications, if you're familiar with writing the stuff on Linux where you've just got a window. If you want GUIs, you have the ability to write WinForms or WPF presentations. WPF is Windows Presentation Foundation, and that has a higher level of graphics that will leverage the GPU on chips more with better power performance capabilities. So by having a WPF form, you can write very rich graphical applications. ASP.NET, again, if you are a web server providing services on the Internet, you can publish them and you can use the whole .NET Bio framework to do the computation. If you want to make it available locally or if you want to make it available on the network, it's capable to do that. Silverlight is an environment where you run inside the browser. You cannot do everything inside the browser because of security issues, but there's a lot of .NET in terms of manipulation. Once you load the data into it, you can do all the computation that you want inside the browser as well. Azure is the cloud service, so if you want to go into if you want to go into highly distributed computation where you've got lots and lots of data and lots of computation, you can scale up to thousands of nodes with just pay as you go. Okay, now I'm getting pushing too many buttons here. As an NT service, which you just run on your machine in the background, I'm not sure that I see that's a big deal for this group, but fundamentally if you have something that you want to be processing all the time and be available and watching things, then you could have a service running where you're processing things coming in on a random basis, which would be kind of like a web service. To give you an idea of what functionality is in there, there's namespaces. So in the bio spaces, which are basically your data structures, we support sequences, alphabets, things with ambiguity, SNPs. I keep touching too many buttons on the mouse. I can see I need to practice that better. In the web space, you can call out and consume web services and get data back. So contacting the NCI, EBI, any of the web services, you can get the data from them, bring it in, and work on it programmatically. The algorithms we support are bio-alignment, assembly, phasing, and then just lots of I/O to different file formats. For more of you people, rather than the bioinformaticists out there, so now you've got the library, what can people do with it? What are the tools available? I'm going to talk about three of them. The first one is probably is another tool for developing things, but then the .NET Bio plugin for Excel and FastLim are two things I'll talk about briefly as well. What was my time? When am I done? Okay, so I will go reasonably quickly, I hope. So basically, SHO is an interactive environment for working with data in the .NET environment. It's built on libraries for algebra and data visualization. It does use the Intel MKL libraries underneath it, so you get high-performance linear algebra. It's Iron Python is the scripting language. And basically, the math libraries in SHO then are available from any .NET language. So although I'll be using Python here for a moment, C Sharp, which is a C++-like or Java-like language, can also be used to get access to all this information. The link site is there. So this is the SHO window, and it's basically an interpreted window. I'm going to sit down here for a second and put this all together. I just brought this up like any other Microsoft window to get started. These are backwards for me. I'm going to bring up the SHO library, and I'm going to load the bio.dll, which is the new .NET Bio library. So that's all it takes to import it. It's a relatively simple command. Once we have the SHO library loaded, the next part I do is I'm going to go create a library, a parser, that will read a specific one. In this case, I'm going to go load a FASTA file, which is a .fa. It detects that by the name. And so all I have to do is once I've created a parser, it's going to go figure it out. I'm going to go call it to read the files, and it's going to go read them in. And it just read in that file, and let me see if I've got the file here real fast, because you can see how small and simple it is. And so to give you an idea of just how simple that file really is, that's all I'm reading in, so it's not a big file. But to show that we've actually read something in, you know, I'm just going to go through it. The sequences all have an ID. You saw the IDs associated. It read them in. It's printing them out. If I want to do any work with it, what I'm going to do here is create a function inside my Python. Right, so this is basically going to do the printout. It's going to take the data where we're storing the sequence, print it out. After I print it out, after I get the function in there, I can go print it in there. It's going to print the sequences. I can do the operations on it. Basically, it's a print. And you can see what's happening here is I'm reading all the data and then go counting the number of G's in those sequences. So I've created an array that has all those G's in it. I now say go plot the values, and over here pops up a simple chart. So it's a relatively simple or a very simple interactive environment. You can type into it, you can play with it, you can create programs in it that run. If people are Python programmers, then they're already pretty very aware of what's going on. So the next one is the BioExcel plugin for BioExcel. And you can see that we can load sequence data into it, we can colorize it, and you can look at and analyze sequences this way. And what happens here is that you create a new tab in the ribbon. So .NET Bio, and again, this is an example program. You could, it's giving access to some of the capabilities inside the .NET Bio framework. And what we'll do here, as I get back my mouse, is that I'm going to import from the FASTA file. And so we can see that we had the same BioExcel file, again, a relatively small file. Okay, so that's not so good. Bring up the .NET Bio, import the FASTA file. Load him in. We can see that we have all the FASTA sequences in here. To do a quick assemble, I can select it. I'm selecting number 2, so I can come down to the next sheet. It already identifies that the sequence there. It knows it. It pre-fills in sequences that it knows about. I want to add another one. So I'm going to add another sequence to it. Select the sequence. Come down here. That's great. So now you can put in the parameters to do the assembly. You can see that we're going to use a Smith-Waterman aligner. I'm going to submit it. It runs along. And I now have created an assembly. I've created a config. You can see we've called. There's a little bit of variation there on the A's and the C's. And you can see all that relatively quickly. So if you're working inside Excel and you're using reasonable, or we'll even say small databases, that you can manipulate it and you can do things that Excel will handle a million plus lines now, 16K wide. So you can do a bunch of stuff in that space.
So I've got about 2 minutes left, so I'm basically going to talk just a few minutes about what we've got here. The thing that we're done, another tool that we're using for how many people are doing GWAS studies? Genome Association studies? Okay, so what we have here is, if I not push the forward button and only get the light again, is that Nature Methods last month, we published a paper, which is basically a linear time for fast linear or fast GWAS using spectrally transformed LMMs. And what's happening here is you can see the difference in terms of memory usage. And this is the EMM max or EM max. And you can see that the ability to run goes up here almost linear for fast LIM. And our ability to handle the number of individual genotypes versus the number of, we don't see the number of phenotypes in here, but the number of SNPs. We're doing this on human data, which is where we're coming from. So the people there are working with 500,000 SNPs in different places. So we're getting a lot of power out of this one. This also is opened up and is on a open source Apache 2 license, and the code and everything is available here on CodePlex as well. We got a lot of buzz at the Human Genome Conference last week. I've already been told I have to go fix a couple of bugs, so it isn't perfect. I don't know if you guys use production software or research software, but there's also a lot of people wanting us to do enhancements to it already. I'm not sure how well this applies directly to the plant genomes and how much it works in terms of family. We do have things in here that work on confounding issues and remove confounding issues for family relatedness in human, but there's a lot more interbreeding in plants, and I'm not sure how much and how much problems we're going to have with that. So I think there's a lot of work to do here. It may be interesting for you people to look at, for anybody that is doing GWAS. That is an idea of what we're doing.
Fundamentally, we're trying to build up a community around the bio.net. We think it's a good foundation for being highly productive in the software development side, which in turn will make researchers highly productive. It's freely available under Apache 2.0 license, so you can use it as it is an open source license, but you can also take it then and move it into proprietary space. It's available on bio.coplex.com, so you can get installers there, install it and use the library and use some of the tools. You can get the source code on bio.coplex.com, so I'm going to say that one more time because we're trying to build a developer community on bio.coplex.com. How can you join in and help? Ask questions. Any questions would be love to have. Suggestions for bugs, bug reports, and new features. Even better, write a new tool, although it's probably not the right audience for that presentation. Sorry about that. And improve the docs, add a tutorial if you find a use for any of the tools, making sure that it's possible to use there. With that, I think I'm done. Again, references where to go to find different things. And I'm open for questions for 30 seconds. Any questions? Yes, sir. So the question was, does the plugin in Excel support all the sequence files? And if you, it will support it. I don't know the details. If it's reading a sequence, it should support anything that bio.net, I'm sorry, .NET Bio can read, and it reads SAM and BAM files. How it maps it into Excel, I'm not sure. So you may need to do a little work. The Excel plugin is also an open source project, so you can look at that, and we're happy to help people move it forward if they need access to different things as well. Yes, sir?
Does the Outer Source Foundation business model include partnering with people who are writing grants to staff or things like that?
So the question is, does Outer Curve include partnering with people who are writing grants? The Outer Curve model is they will, if you're developing a community and you want to do development there, that's great. The CodePlex is the repository model. So Outer Curve is not funding anybody if you're asking for do they write grants. But they'll work with anybody. Contributions to Outer Curve we would like to have come in under something that's compatible with Apache, right? So if you're going to be contributing code to Outer Curve or to the .NET Bio project, which is now owned by Outer Curve, then you would be contributing rights for it to be used under that license. There's nothing in the license that prohibits you from using the foundation and creating your own tools on top of the library and then doing something with it as well. I think there's one more question, or is that...